talking. We're going talking today where things are popping. The Marion way, we're going to drop in on discussions of the day on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, we're going debating. We're going to debate very loud and we'll be laughing and floating high on a cloud. Phones are ringing from listeners all around on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, and we'll guess and goof and talk on Exchange. Read, debate, and think it's Exchange. Tune in, we're on. Turn on, I'm in. It's on today, the Exchange Club.
And here we go. It's a Getaway Friday, February the 15th, 2019. 15 minutes past the hour. And last week and then there were two. This week we're back up to full power. Charlie Evers is here. Marge Hazelitz here. Brandy Downs is here. And I am around. We're going to have a full discussion. Now, Charlie, today I'll be doing your program because people are interested. You're still not feeling well.
One put on a rock and the other on a banana peel.
No. Well, you're going to get some help in the next few days.
Yes, next week.
So we'll all be happy for that. Now, we do have a special announcement to make today before we get to the program of current events. And trust me, there's a lot to talk about. Oh, we're getting a call right off the bat. We'll do that, and then we'll go to where we're going to go. All right. Go ahead, caller.
Scott, you told me before, but explain this to me again. What is a Getaway Friday?
Oh, a Getaway Friday? You're getting away from...
Now, listen, I'm cooking some soup here, so I'm going to hang up, but I'm going to tune in and listen to your response, okay?
Sure.
Okay, bye.
A Getaway Friday is a getaway for the weekend, because most weekdays are, you know, most people, I think still the majority, work Monday through Friday, and Friday is always a getaway.
Getaway to restaurants on Friday evening.
Well, a lot of people, I've always noticed, if you say, what's your favorite day of the week, do this sometime. They'll say Friday because it's the end. It's payday. Mm-hmm. A lot of people's paydays, Friday. So it's a day when people have the money to get away. Maybe they don't have to work on Saturday. That's what a Getaway Friday is. That's it.
My wife's getting away tomorrow on her 78th birthday.
Oh, well, happy birthday to Jeannie.
78.
Beautiful.
She's all younger than me.
You'll be around another 78, Charlie.
Well, I'd like to be, but, you know, at times you wonder.
You have this cold. Once you get over it, you'll feel 10 times better.
It's not really a cold. It's something else.
I think it's bronchitis.
You know, a form of it, yeah.
I think once you get some medicine for it, I think you'll be okay.
Yeah. I haven't tried any of my medicine in the refrigerator.
You have some in the refrigerator?
I have some alcohol.
Oh, a hot toddy.
Yeah, I've even got down the basement stored away a bottle of Jägermeister. And when you mention Jägermeister to a young college kid, you drink a Jägermeister? Well, I have it for years. It sets you on, oh my. I walked in when Delaware had the Little Brown Jug restaurant. I went in there one night with my brother-in-law, and there wasn't any table to sit at, so we sat at the bar. The bartender came up, said, what do you have? I said, a Jägermeister. And the whole restaurant went silent. Mm-hmm. Like, who is that guy that drinks Jägermeister?
Maybe you should have
a drink.
When you go home today, maybe you should have a cup. Rest up.
It's got it tastes like a licorice a little bit, but they sell it up at Put-in Bay at the restaurants up there.
It's not bad. It's just powerful. It's got a little
extremely
kick to it. You know, I think the two easiest drinks to drink, if you're going to drink. Oh, they don't drink, I guess. But no, the two easy, a screwdriver, which is just orange juice and vodka, because you never taste the vodka. It just tastes like orange juice. But vodka's powerful enough to send you in weird little ways. And, mimosa, which is also, that's orange juice.
Oh, really?
Orange juice and champagne.
Hmm.
Which, it tastes good, but it's very powerful, too.
To me, one of the tastiest things is champagne.
You know who made the mimosa famous?
No.
Marilyn Monroe.
Really?
She was a mimosa drinker.
Mm.
That's how she kept it together. A little alcohol in the morning, a little eye-opener. Don't need a lot of food. That's how you do it.
Okay.
Now, here's the special announcement. Now, you already know about this, which is going to be a lot of fun. Friday, March the 1st, will be the 25th anniversary of Mary Ellen Withrow being sworn in as 40th Treasurer of the United States. And in talking to Mary Ellen yesterday, we also found out that 2019 is the 50th anniversary of her getting on Elgin School Board, which started her career in 1969. Okay. We had a great talk yesterday.
But she has also already signed, once she was state treasurer, she signed on those bonds.
But I don't think it's there anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But this will add to it. So she's going to sign a bun that, fill in, what will be there, first of all, from 11:10 in the morning till 3 o'clock in the afternoon at Tony Paco's in Toledo, Ohio, doing a live broadcast. A lot of people have signed hot dog buns there. It's a big tradition. Nancy Reagan, Burt Reynolds, Mr. T. And it's a big honor to have a hot be signing a hot dog. They just don't.
But are those hot dogs or sausages?
No, they're hot dogs.
It's hot dogs.
Are they?
They say famous hot dogs.
Oh yeah.
Are they sausages? I don't know.
No, I think they're hot dogs.
They're hot dogs.
They're hot dogs. There
you
go.
I don't know. Okay. I lived there and I ate there a lot.
I'll never get through this announcement. People have no idea what I just said. They have no idea what I'm talking about. Exactly. So anyway, the point is, we'll be there March the 1st. Charlie Evers, myself, Terry Tackett, Sean Kraft, Mike Wilson's going along now, too. So we're going to have a big group of people there. And you'll be able to listen to it on the air here from 11:10 until 3 p.m. And it's a big honor to sign a hot dog bun up there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can you imagine on the air saying, now bend over, let me sign your bun.
Well, guess now here's an interesting thing. Now, guess who is going to be saying bend over as well that day?
You.
No, you, Charlie.
Me?
You're going to sign a hot dog bun that will be forever displayed at Tony Paco's.
Wow.
What an honor that's going to be. Somebody asked about that yesterday.
Uh-huh.
It's a done deal.
Great.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I think on the brochure it says sausage.
It says sausage in the brochure.
Get your brochure and read it there, and you can prove the point. Since there's I think it's about a tie, isn't it? On people saying it's hot dog and the other saying it's sausage, or are you getting defeated?
Well, I don't know. I know it's a hot dog bun, but I don't know if it's a hot dog or a sausage.
Probably Polish.
You got that absolutely right. That's the difference between it. It's on a hot dog bun. They claim a hot dog bun, but it's a sausage.
All right. Hey, thank you.
Yeah, it says right on your brochure I give you.
Bye. All right. There we go. But that's where we'll be. So Mary Ellen will sign her bun, and then Charlie, you'll sign your bun.
I won't sign her bun, though.
You won't sign her bun. No, no. That could be a whole nother thing.
Right.
It's all going to happen on Friday, March the 1st, from 11 a.m. until 3 p.m. We'll be in Toledo, Ohio. And we'll have a lot of fun.
Sounds like fun.
It's going to be a good day. So let's get into it, and we'll start with the politics, then get on to something more interesting, because it is the politics. I guess it's happened since I've been here this morning. The budget passed, so there will be no government shutdown, which allocates $1.375 billion for the wall, which was the compromise that got the Congress to 300 votes, which allowed this budget to pass. The president has said he's not going to veto it. But this morning, he announced he is going to declare a national emergency to try to get $8 billion to build the wall. Now, there's some questions about this, because I think, first of all, doesn't the total wall cost $20 billion? Didn't I hear that number at one point?
Somewhere I heard that.
I never heard a figure that big. Maybe it would, but maybe they're not planning on building a wall border to border.
Maybe not.
I've heard so many estimates from $5 billion up to $25 billion. Mm-hmm. I don't think anyone knows until it's actually being built.
Now, the deal is, when you declare a national emergency, it doesn't just happen if there are legal cases, and I think legal cases probably are being filed right now, I would imagine. So this is not going to happen instantaneously. And it's my understanding that this is something that could even go all the way up to the Supreme Court. And also, there's some talk that Senate could put a stop. That Senate has to pass. Does Senate have to pass a national emergency? I was listening to something like that.
The president's prerogative.
Well, I think he declares the national emergency, but I don't think it can just be done. Am I wrong on this? What was the point of 15 senators disagreeing with it who were Republican if the Senate has nothing to do with it anyway?
I think they were just trying to pressure him not to do it. They were hoping he would listen, but Sean Hannity has his ear.
Well, but the deal is, I do believe that Nancy Pelosi said last night that lawsuits would be filed. And so it's not going to happen instantaneously, I don't believe. I could be corrected down the road. But is that right, Brandy? From I didn't hear the speech this morning. I missed the whole bit.
I only heard excerpts. Charlie heard it.
Most of it,
so
yeah.
Does it happen instantaneously?
It sounded like it would.
Now, is that your understanding, Brandy? Because my understanding was come out immediately.
Otherwise, I think the lawsuits will come out. Yeah.
Why would they declare it a national emergency if that didn't mean something?
Well, it does mean something. I mean, it's quite possible that it could go through, but usually when there's a national emergency, it's a tsunami, it's a hurricane down in New Orleans, and they need the money now, and who's going to, say, don't do that?
Yeah, there's usually not a debate about whether or not the emergency the president is declaring is actually an emergency, and in this case, it isn't clear, and I think that's why there will be legal battles, and it probably will not be instantaneous.
The New Orleans hurricane that destroyed New Orleans, and they still haven't fully rebuilt, wasn't there a problem with George W. Bush that he didn't declare it a national emergency quick enough? Wasn't that one of the big issues?
I think so.
Took FEMA a long time to get down there, and people were dying in the Superdome in New Orleans.
Oh, awesome.
So the question is going to be, is this a national emergency? That will be the question that the lawyers will have to decide. And it's going to be an interesting question because I don't know. And the precedent it will set, and I was talking about this earlier on, and it is true. If it does go through, I think this is why the Republicans are, some of them are against it, 15 in the Senate and quite a few in the Congress, is because once you set this, once it faces the legal battles, if you can declare a national, if the president, the executive, the chief executive, is allowed to declare a national emergency for this, then if it comes to global warming, if it comes to health care, if it comes to gun control, if the president, who might be a Democrat coming down the road, I'm sure there'll be a Democrat sometime or another, wants to circumnavigate Congress, this will be the way they can do it. Hmm. It's my understanding.
Does that strike fear into you?
Yeah, a little bit, because I don't know that necessarily that global warming's a national emergency. I don't know that gun control's a national emergency. I want there to be money when there is a hurricane. I want there to be money when there is a 9/11. I want there to be money when these things happen.
Well, if we pull out of Syria, we'll have billions to spare.
But I think that's in the defense budget, and I think it just gets moved to another place.
Okay.
The problem is, the reason we have three branches of government is so one power does not have complete control, and that's the point. And this kind of throws that out the window when it comes to allocation. Now, I'm not saying the wall is wrong. I don't know what's right or wrong in that particular situation. But is this the way to go about it? Some people say yes, some people will say no. But people tend to abuse powers later on when precedents are set.
I just wonder, though, wouldn't that make one of the world's largest advertising platforms? You could sell billboards on the wall, my land.
Who would see it out in the middle of the desert?
Well,
go ahead, caller.
I just wonder on this declaring the wall an emergency, which I am for the wall, the amount of money that we're going to save by not having to pay all these benefits out to the illegals in the way of housing, food, medical, all the being held in detainees areas and having to support that, and then the court case and everything, they come over the wall, open the gate, boot them back out, and then you can't apply for anything in the U.S. for 10 years after that since you tried it illegally the first time. But the amount of money we're going to save could be used to go back to pay these areas that it's coming from now. It's going to save us billions of dollars.
even though it's going to cost us something up front.
Well, I think the I'm going to let Brandy handle this in a second, but I think one of the questions is, I'm not sure it's about the dollar amount. I really don't know that it is about the dollar amount. I think it's about the precedent that it sets, that if the president doesn't like what the Congress is doing, like, ma'am, do you think global warming is a national emergency?
I don't think it's a national emergency, but I do think more effort should be done by everyone to help mitigate what's happening, not only to our ecosystem, but our wildlife, our national parklands, and all of that.
Right, and but the next president, say if it's somebody like who's on the list right now, Elizabeth Warren. Elizabeth Warren would probably think that global warming was a national emergency. And if this precedent is set and the Congress doesn't think that global warming needs to be funded or money needs to be allocated to that, then she would be able to say, as president, it's a national emergency, things are going away, and we need to allocate money toward that. And I think that's the it's not about the wall, it's not about the money, it's about the precedent that it sets. What is the chief executive able to do of this country?
I understand that, but I would just hope that people in our Washington, D.C. area would realize that it is costing the tax, it's breaking the taxpayers. That, and having to pay our congressmen for life, you know, they always want to blame the deficit on the American people, but the deficit is because we fell asleep evidently at the wheel and allowed politicians to vote all this stuff in to where we pay them for life. And if you do the numbers on 535 congressmen at $175,000 a year, even after they're out of office, all the ones that are come before the ones that are in there right now, do the numbers, it adds up to trillions and trillions of dollars. But the amount of money that it's going to save us in declaring this a national emergency, and according to declaring national emergencies, protecting our country is one of them. That is a way of protecting our country from the illegals that are coming here and just putting taxpayers under in the amount of money that we're having to pay out to take care of them.
Well, I appreciate the opinion, and I thank you for listening.
Well, thank you for the program.
Thank you. Okay, go ahead, Brandy. Your eyes bugged out on that one, so what's your answer there?
The problem is that the people who are currently here and being held in detention centers are not going to disappear, whether a wall is built or not. They're still here one way or another. They still have to be treated with the basic dignity owed to a human being. So that money will not be saved. We do not pay people who are here illegally. We do not give them food assistance. We do not give them housing assistance. Those things are just not true. You have to be an American citizen to get the benefits of an American citizen. There may be a very small percentage who lie and are not caught, but in general, they are not coming here to get free money.
Well, here's what I on this, because I've heard this argument before about the getting the free stuff. Now, I called, after we heard this about 18 times, I called Marion Community Action, which handles the food stamps and so on. And I said, if I come in there and don't have a Social Security card or a birth certificate, can I get the service? Now, they said no. Now, apparently nobody believes me. So why doesn't somebody, Caucasian, who would be a little easier to get in there, why don't you go out to Community Action without a Social Security card and without its birth certificate and see if you can get approved?
Yeah, you know, that is a shame, but that's a common belief.
It is a belief, but yeah. It's a falsehood.
It is false, and I know because I have previously in my life been on public assistance, and I know the amount of paperwork and the amount of documentation it takes just to get, you know, the bare minimums. It definitely does not happen without any effort on the part of the person applying, for
and
sure.
And this is not an opinion about this wall, but if that is the common myth that we are still under, Marion Community Action is on Bell Fountain Avenue. Make an appointment for food assistance. Go out there. Don't show up with the paperwork that they ask for and see if they'll approve you. If they approve you, call and let us know. My guess is they're not going to approve you.
you might be met with an Iceman when you leave.
You might.
Yeah. And asking for your green card or... Right.
And if you are a citizen, then you can pull it out and give it to them. But the question is, if you show up without documentation that you're legal here, will they give it to you? Because that's the question on the table. And if you believe it, I only can take Marion Community Action at their word. If you want to test them, test them. I don't think that's illegal to test them. Why would it be?
Hmm.
So there you go. So that's the way it's going to go. But I do believe if it passes in the legal... But you see, I do think it'll go to the Supreme Court. I do believe that. And I don't know if it'll pass the Supreme Court because Justice Roberts is voting strange all of a sudden. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, I was the one that just called a little bit ago. I'm not talking about food stamps and all that kind of stuff. I'm talking about feeding them as they're being detained, housing them as they're being housed right now. That's costing the taxpayers a lot of money. It's not coming out of their pocket. We won't even get into the type of help that they get because having worked with Somalis and others, I know what kind of government help they get from the taxpayers. But I'm talking about the ones that are illegal. They're being detained down there at the border right now, and the taxpayer is paying to house them, feed them, clothe them, medical, all of that. That's costing us a fortune.
Why are they being detained at the border? Why don't they just let them go back to Mexico?
Well, that's what a lot of taxpayers would like to know.
But this just started. Yeah. It used to be catch and release back to Mexico. This detained thing just started recently.
I think it depends on if they come here and they're seeking asylum, then there's a process that must be gone through.
Right.
And they're not going to send them back to their country of origin if that would endanger their lives. That's one thing. But anyone can present themselves at a port of entry and either seek asylum or applying for immigration is different. But the fact remains that whether or not the wall is built, the people we are currently detaining who are seeking asylum, they're not going to immediately disappear. They're not going to be sent back immediately. That's just not how it works. We have a process in this country. And so that money for housing and feeding and caring for them and giving them the basic dignity that is owed to any human being is not going away. That money is not going to be saved.
Is some of that coming from Mexico?
No.
In many countries, Americans aren't given that. The ones that come here and commit crimes and murder, rob, and things of that nature, we're supporting them in the prison system and the court system. They don't pay for their attorneys. They don't pay for their housing at the prison. So they are costing the taxpayers a lot of money. It needs to stop. They can apply and go through the proper channels to come into the country, but the amount of people that are coming in trying to seek asylum by crossing over, and they're hoping that they can cross over and not get caught. But because they're caught, then they're like, oh, well, we need asylum. That's what's got taxpayers up in a tizzy. It's just costing too much money, and the United States just can't afford it anymore.
The number of illegal border crossings has actually dropped, according to the Trump administration's own numbers, by, there have been a couple, but about 75% in the last 18 years. So that number has gone down drastically.
They're still coming in, and they're still costing.
And they'll still come in even if there's a wall.
If they do it legally, that's not a problem. But illegally, that's what's got everyone up in an uproar. The illegal stuff has got to stop.
Thank you again.
You know, I don't know. It's very difficult. Because here, if I am a citizen of another country, and I want to come in as a legal, because if it's the term illegal that is bothering everybody, what is so cumbersome about the process? Because you would think if it was an easy process that people would do it.
Apparently it takes a long time.
And a lot of money.
Yes.
And I think that's maybe the problem here.
I've got a good friend, Curry Klingel. His wife is from Cape Town, South Africa, and I don't believe she's been able to rejoin him yet.
And she's married an American.
Yeah.
So it's tough. I don't know. But I just, you know, the wall thing's been going on for a long time now, and it's either going to be built or it's not going to be built. But the question is, in the end, is a national emergency the best way to get this money? Because I just don't know what the repercussions of that are going to be 6 years, 8 years down the road when somebody decides that their campaign promise is not paying off and that Congress is not working with them. And they decide, well, I'm just going to circumnavigate that. But, you know, what is going on with the Supreme Court right now? Because Roberts is agreeing, who's a conservative appointed by George W. Bush, all of a sudden he's agreeing with the liberal side. They call that something on the Supreme Court. What do they call that?
I don't remember.
It's somebody who
go ahead, caller.
Yeah, this is what I want to know. I've said it before and I'll say it again. What are they wanting to come? Sorry. What are they wanting to come here for so bad? Because what's so good about America that they don't have where they're at? Why don't they just improve their own country?
Any answers on that?
Jobs. Jobs that pay a living wage.
Well, this has always been the problem. Mm-hmm. The problem is, why are the American businessmen never sued who employ the people who they have to know don't have a Social Security number?
Including the president.
I think that's a cheap shot, though, against the president. I think that's just
truth.
Cheap. I don't think he knew that this was happening.
Oh, there was a report that came out that said that I don't want to say which business of his it was because I don't remember exactly, but authorities were informed, and they did inform management, and they continued to employ people.
Thank you, caller.
Yep.
Again, telephone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Apparently, this is something people want to talk about. But here's the deal. Isn't it illegal to hire illegals? I mean, forget the community.
Yes, it is.
So why is nobody in jail for it?
You've got to have a green card.
So why?
And they just arrested a whole bunch of them up north.
So but did they arrest the business owner?
Yeah, that's the question.
I don't know.
See, I don't know if there is an actual statute that says.
But the interesting thing was, they were picking up their green cards right across the street here at Domino's Pizza.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Are you sure about... Oh, Charlie.
Don't get Domino's.
Don't.
No, that was in the newspaper.
That they picked up at Domino's...
There was a lady that managed the green card business, and she had a little not headquarters, but she met with people wanting their green cards across the street. Yeah, that's been established. That's not a dig at all.
I must have missed that article. Was
really?
It?
Too. I don't
oh,
know.
Oh, yeah, it all was right. In the news.
What I will say in response to the caller is of course, I do not want people coming to this country illegally. I do think it creates problems. And I do wish we could find a way to curtail it completely. I think that NAFTA, which President Trump... you know, said he was going to renegotiate and get us a new deal. I think part of the problem is that when that was negotiated and all of the car manufacturers and jobs of that sort started being exported to Mexico, the reason that they go to Mexico to open up the plants is because they don't have to pay a lot of money, right?
But that was prior to Detroit died in the late 70s. NAFTA didn't happen until 93.
Correct.
So there's all, I mean, we have to be students of history here.
No, but what I'm saying is I wish that when he renegotiated, that part of the renegotiation was making sure that if a company goes to Mexico, mm-hmm. they have to pay their workers there the same wage that they have to pay their workers
that's why they
here.
Leave. That's
and
why they leave.
Exactly. And then not only would they not leave, but then if they did, employees in Mexico would be getting paid enough of a wage that they're not going to come here to try and get the very same job.
One of the problems with this whole bit is, and because I do think, see, there are little cheap shots around the rim that are being fired, and I do think this whole thing now about, I'll tell you two things I don't like, that people who don't want the wall have walls around their house, because I think that's silly, because the reason they have walls around their house is because they're well-known people and they don't want to get shot by people who are don't like them. And I don't like the cheap shots at the president saying that he hired illegal immigrants, because Donald Trump was not hiring these people personally. That's just that's a shot at him. That's
yes,
I think
it is.
It's unfair.
I don't think it's unfair. He leads the company, and he's the one that is supposed to make sure everything's on the up and up. That's his job.
But he cannot have time to check every employee who's hired in.
No, but he sets the standards.
But who's the manager there? That's who you need to go after.
He hires somebody, right? And it goes right on down the line. And if you're hiring people just like he does in his administration that can't be trusted to follow the letter of the law, that's because he's choosing to hire people who don't follow the letter of the law.
But
it goes all the way down the chain.
But Marge, don't you think that's a dig? I mean, the president wants a wall to keep out illegal immigrants. So we're going to say that he hires illegal immigrants. I mean, there are a lot of business owners that hire illegal immigrants. Mm-hmm. I don't see them being plastered all over the news all of a sudden.
They're also not all on the news saying, I'm going to end illegal immigration by spending billions of dollars on a wall. If they were doing that, we'd be lambasting them too.
Do you think it's a cheap shot, Charlie? I don't know.
I don't know, but as I said before, I was concerned about fentanyl. I thought it was being brought into this country illegally, but I was
prescribed.
In a hospital recently,
prescribed, yeah.
And I asked one of the nurses. She said, no, we dispense that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the interesting thing, that actually the number one killer is not drugs from another country, it's prescribed it's opioids. Mm-hmm. So that might be where the national emergency gets defeated, because they'll probably say, well, wait, more people are dying from opioids than drugs coming in from other countries like heroin. And that's the truth. I mean, again, just
that's
to be factual, don't mean to step on the wall. Go ahead, caller.
I definitely think that wall needs to be built. We need to put a stop to all the biggest part of the illegal drugs that's coming into this country. And they are coming in through Mexico. And not only that, but your human trafficking and all the other stuff. If we got a wall up there, it would cut down on our crime and a lot of this other stuff that we're facing today that we wouldn't have if we had a wall.
I appreciate your opinion. Thank you for listening and thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
But we do have to say, we do have to be honest, and Charlie's point is exactly right, that... And it's a sad statistic to be number one in, but I believe Ohio is the number one state of opioid deaths in the country right now. So more people overdose on opioids, which are prescribed medications, than do on heroin in this country. Now, should heroin come in? No, it's illegal. It should.
Mm-hmm.
It absolutely should be stopped. But what is going on with the doctors? What is going on with the hospitals? What is going on with these prescription companies?
Mm-hmm. But I was really surprised when I asked, why are doctors prescribing so much of this? And I was told in a doctor's office, if we don't prescribe it, we can be sued for malpractice.
Well, yeah,
dispensing painkillers.
One of the problems, I mean, say you have a toothache, say you have a sprained wrist, say you have a bad back. If you go to the hospital on a weekend, I don't know many doctors that make house calls anymore. I don't know many doctors that are in over the weekend. You're just supposed to tell somebody to go home and suffer over the weekend. The only thing they can do is give them a pain pill.
Well, it's just like when a person is on the way to the hospital and they make the wrong turn on purpose and the person dies and they're... shaking hands right with the people at the door. See, that's the kind of stuff that we need to stop.
Yeah.
And we're not stopping that.
Well, and I think, ultimately, people better keep an eye on this, that when it comes to this national emergency, that might be the problem. Because if some lawyer says, now, wait a second, more people are dying of opioids, if you want to declare a national emergency, maybe we should look into that.
Right.
That might be the defeatedness. And this Roberts on the Supreme Court, who is the Chief Justice, not that that means anything more than he has a vote, for some reason, all of a sudden, this conservative judge appointed by George W. Bush is voting with the Democrats. Now, some people are saying that that's not necessarily how he feels, but that he's a constitutionalist. And he believes that the law of the land is the law of the land, and he, there's a term for it. It begins with an S, but that they look at case precedent, and he's one of those law guys that even though his belief is probably one thing, that he's a case guy, and people better watch that issue in this country right now, because a lot of this thing with Russia and President Trump are talking about the Supreme Court, that it'll go there should the report be released, should documents be released. Well, if Roberts keeps voting the way he does, nobody thought he would vote the way he did in the abortion case. That's all I'm saying. Which, I don't know if that means anything, but I thought it was an odd vote.
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody have anything else to say about this wall?
Oh, I think we owned quite a bit.
Did we said it all?
What else is happening?
Let's go on to something more flowery and fun. Well, here's something. Dr. Ruth, who's been on this show, love Dr. Ruth. She was on, because yesterday being Valentine's Day, she was on a show and said the biggest problem for romance for millennials is that they don't talk to each other. They said it's the biggest problem facing them.
Well, there are no smartphones.
Right. That they're still being as active as people ever were, but they just don't talk. There's no romance. There's no candy. There's no flowers. There's no any, you know, it's a text message. It's not a conversation anymore. I think Dr. Ruth might be onto something here.
Might be part of the problem.
And if the world stops procreating, then we might have a big problem.
Now, you know, here's what gets me. You look in the newspaper every other day, and there will be a half-page ad for male enhancement. And then on the same day, you'll see sex crimes, men raping teenage girls, and this and that. How much of a role does this male enhancement do to some of these sex-crazed guys when they attack girls?
I would say
Marge,
none.
You're up.
Yeah, I don't. Marge, what do you think about that?
I don't know. We've got a very sick community.
I just don't know why they're advertising that.
I don't know
maybe
either.
Maybe that's the
prude. It is on WMRN. A lady comes on and says, oh man. Oh,
really?
It's sick.
That's what she says.
Yeah, she's very. Acting like she's so satisfied with her husband.
What are they selling over there on WMRN? I was there. I don't remember that.
Oh, well, no, that's recent.
Oh, this is past Friday.
You see, the
okay,
borders,
well.
The borders are crumbling on advertising.
Boy, I hate to think of the population that listens to that radio station when they hear that
Bob
spot
Mason
in the morning.
Would die
oh,
if he heard that.
Oh, my God. So she's having on the air.
Yeah.
Oh,
look how uncomfortable
God.
They get, Marge.
Well, you know, when I had Dr. Ruth on, she's talking about all these words, you know, that
yeah.
sex words. And I said, are you sure you can say those on the air? And she said, she can, because she's a sex therapist. But we can't say those words. We really can't. You can't say the O word. The O word is not, you can't do it.
You know, that's
it's not proper. Now, she could say it, but we can't.
I've been the MC at our reunions, my class of 52. One of the girls became a sex therapist.
We can get her on. Then
and
we get
she
dirty.
Sent a letter to me every year that I read, and that was the highlight of the whole party.
Marge, do you have any sex therapist? No? Because we could get away with saying it then. But, you know, you can't. The O word is considered not a word that you can do on radio unless you're qualified. Mm-hmm. Now you
that's
can.
Absurd.
Mm-hmm.
That's
well,
just
no,
absurd.
I think it's because people would. Because there's too many of these zoo programs and people would use it so slangishly.
Well, you know, one of the big. Sex.
Apparently you can have one on the air, you just can't say it.
One of the big sex crimes listed on the air the other day, and it's been on the news everywhere, whereas one of the, I can't remember who he is, had oral sex. Now, years ago, they never said oral sex on the radio or TV or anywhere.
Till today, I don't think they've ever said it.
Today, they say it anytime.
But I don't, why is that people's hobby now? I mean, people used to have hobbies. People go to the craft store, go to the ballpark, mm-hmm. Is this all that's left to promote is
sex?
Is that it? Is that where we are? I mean, you know what? The show we did on sex a few weeks ago, which wasn't meant to be a sex program, but it was about The Bachelor. People love that show. They thought that was the greatest thing.
Oh, my goodness. I got so many messages.
Yeah, see? People love to talk about sex. I don't know why. Yeah. It's such a weird thing.
Well, to a lot of people, it's exciting.
Well, maybe that's why Dr. Ruth has been in business so long and the books are still selling and keeps everything moving along. You know, is that Bachelor show over yet?
Oh, I hope so.
Oh, no, I just wonder if he's
talk about that
still
isn't that horrible?
Well, no, but that's true. Marge, you weren't here for this. You weren't here for the sex show. Oh, my God.
No,
I'm so glad you're back. Here we go. Now, here's the deal. You ever hear of this Bachelor show? Okay, there's a show on television for, like, many years now. None of us apparently have ever watched it. But this year they put a guy on there, and he's in there with 18 women who are like, they're all hanging around the pool all the time. And this year, I think to get people to watch, they said he was a 26-year-old virgin, football player, but he's a virgin. Now, you rolled your eyes. Exactly. Yeah. Now, do you believe he's a virgin, or do you think that was just for ratings?
I don't know. I didn't see it, and I didn't hear it, so I really don't have a thumb on it. But I don't know. I think we're over. I can remember the day you didn't even dare mention the word sex.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
You did, man, right. You got your tongue cut out.
My dad, who I always thought was kind of like Archie Bunker, he would die if he was still alive.
Well, it used to be that, you know, I it's true. If you lived in a town and you went to buy anything that was related to that, you had to go to the next town to buy it because you didn't want people seeing you doing that.
No, you didn't.
It was that taboo.
Taboo.
Now people just come right up. There it is.
I think it's much healthier where we are now. I don't think it should be a taboo subject.
But
it's been happening for hundreds of thousands of years.
But yet you're uncomfortable with it.
No, I'm not uncomfortable with it.
You wouldn't tell us who you, what celebrity.
That's because I am uncomfortable with the idea. I don't like to exalt celebrities.
But people
ask
you.
Yes, people did ask me.
Suddenly that brings something to my mind that I don't know if it's ever been discussed. After you kill a sheep, the innards are saved for purposes.
What purposes are those, Charlie?
Oh, don't. If you don't know, go to the internet.
Non-latex.
Oh,
I see.
Yeah. Lord in heaven.
What do they call it, prophylactics?
Prophylactics.
Oh.
God.
Yeah.
I'm going to send this one to the awards committee and see if we can get an award for this program today. No, I mean, people did all kinds of crazy stuff not to get pregnant. You know, there was some stuff that they would do, you know.
Except abstain.
No, the rhythm method. Now, people bought into that, Margie.
Well, that was a Catholic method.
But that's not true, is it? I mean, I understand.
Well, they followed that.
But I don't think it's true. I don't think
it's not 100% effective.
No,
if that's what you're asking. No.
And the other one about, leave before it happens.
Yeah.
You know, that.
Definitely not 100%.
No, I wouldn't do that. But the point is that, you know, here's an interesting subject, not exactly on this, but I knew a girl. How can I say this without implicating the people? I knew a girl one time who blamed her husband for, getting the tubes tied. I don't know how it's your choice in the end, isn't it?
Right, I think so.
I mean, you can't force somebody to get their tubes tied. I think that's kind of
absurd.
There
are actually still places where if you go in and you want to get your tubes tied, they will still ask for your husband's permission.
Oh. Well, here's something else Dr. Ruth said yesterday. She said, because, you know, this open relationship is becoming a thing in the United States, where you're married, but yet you let somebody else in there. Now, Dr. Ruth, who's certainly not a prude, who is a sex therapist, she said open relationships are bad. Now, the reasoning she said they were bad was because what if the third person who comes in is better at it and, you know, you might leave the original person. I never thought of that.
Well, that shouldn't might be the original person just get some tips and
That's the one that buys the pills.
Let's all just get better at it.
Practice makes perfect, I guess. I don't know. But that could happen.
Yeah.
Because sometimes with the same person, you know, I imagine that's why these open relationships are coming about. So you let somebody in, and maybe it's different.
Well, to be different. I mean,
we'll send you a free bottle of whatever it is.
What, you don't know what they're selling over there? I wish we could mention it. What is it?
Well, I can't remember the
brand.
Well,
that woman goes all lunatic on me. But it's a woman.
It's a woman, yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah. Do you know there's no male word for mistress? Think about that.
Oh, really?
Is that right?
Think about that.
What's a... No, that's right. Unicorn. Not unicorn, but... What do they call a male that's been castrated? Back in the ancient times.
President Clinton.
Oh!
No, wait.
There's a dig for you.
Oh, well.
In the biblical era.
I'll get invited to all the Republicans.
I know what you're talking about, but yeah, I can't think of it.
No, but you think about that.
Eunuch,
think
yeah.
about that. There's no male shaming, because mistress is a derogatory term. Mm-hmm. There's no word in our language for a man who has an affair. But then I was told years ago by an older lady that she disliked the word mistress. She had an extramarital affair, but she said mistress meant that you were being taken care of by the man. Which I, maybe, because what's the difference between an affair and a mistress?
Don't ask me. You're asking the wrong person.
No, I mean, but you've seen mistresses, haven't you?
You know, some weekend we ought to get on the subject of past houses of ill repute in Marion, of which there's been many.
You know what? How does the one stay open that's still open around
here? I didn't know there was one.
There's still one that's open in Marion. Oh, yes. Well, and it's where the Marion people go. It's close by.
I knew the most famous one. The lady took her girls to the Smith Clinic once a week and had them tested for, sexual disease.
Your family doesn't listen to this show, do they, Brandy?
Sometimes they do, yes.
Oh. Are they happy with it?
My kids think it's hilarious.
I bet.
My oldest son, he's 15, he keeps asking me every week, Mom, will you please take me to the radio show with you so I can meet Scott and Charlie?
And sit right over there. But no, I think in that it is interesting, though. What is a man who has an affair? Is there a derogatory term?
What about cuckold?
No, that goes
cuckold.
Back to the fact that...
Yes.
What is that?
In many countries, the man is number one. His wife walks ahead of him.
Well, that's...
Or behind him.
Behind him. Well, see, that's, I think, why there's no term.
The man is the number one.
But isn't a man, if he has an affair, that's... By other men, they kind of think that's kind of a cool thing, but a woman is damaged goods. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's right, but that's how society looks at it.
I don't think cuckold is analogous to mistress.
What is that?
The definition here says a man whose wife is sexually unfaithful, often regarded as an object of derision. So it's the name for the man who gets cheated on, not the man with whom she is cheating.
Charlie, when you listen, you're going to find out what that drug is so we can let people know what it is.
Yeah.
It's not the regular ones.
I don't believe.
Okay. Do you know people buy this stuff and have it shipped to their house? Can you imagine with the UPS guy showing up with that type of thing?
It's amazing.
I think they put it in discreet packaging.
Can you imagine your neighbor coming over and here on your porch is a pile of whatever? Well, how do you get this off? You call a number? Is that the deal?
Yes, I guess you call it. You probably have to give them your credit card number. You get a free bottle. However, they got your credit card number, and you keep getting bottles charged to you.
Charge it up. It's an interesting subject, and this was an interesting subject. I'll have to have Dr. Ruth back on.
I love to have her back on.
She was a wonderful guest.
Marge would enjoy her.
Yeah, she would say those words, and it gets me a little uncomfortable. I don't want to be... Because what are you going to say to that? Hmm. And she's German, so she's very...
Yeah.
To the point about the whole thing. She said the M word, which you can't, that's even more forbidden than the O word. And I thought, oh my God, you can't say that.
Oh.
Yeah, can you believe
it? I appreciate the directness.
You like to hear that on the radio, somebody talking about that?
No, but if we're going to talk about it, I don't like all the beating around the...
I think you have to use the proper words for the parts, but I don't know that we should take the term... the O word and the M word, because I think once you clear them up, then people would make dirty out of it. They would, it would become a very, they wouldn't be talking about it like we're talking about
well,
it.
That's the point. The more it gets talked about it in a proper fashion, the less funny it becomes, the less silly it becomes. And then the more direct we can all be about it.
I'll just leave you with this. That's not always the case, though, because when Weasel Boy, who was from Marion, worked at WMRN for a period of time before he went down to WNCI, when he came up here, one of the things I talked to him about were his exploits with women, just because he was this goofy character on this raunchy show, and I had to ask him how many women he had been with. And it was a large, large number, but that was only because he was raunchy and he was on the radio and they did all this goofy, stupid stuff. And I don't know that we should get into those. I mean, we did fine today and we didn't have to use those
no.
words.
No, I'm not saying we should. Look, I don't want to be the next Howard Stern. Trust me. I think
he asked everybody on his show about when they lost their virginity,
yes,
and all
that
this
is
sort of
disgusting
thing.
But I think having open conversations, truthful, honest conversations about it, using the proper terms, is helpful for all of society, right, especially younger people.
Mm-hmm. I think so. Mm-hmm. And that wraps. Now, Charlie, you're going home. Rest up.
I think so.
And so I'll be here this afternoon giving away stuff, and we'll give it a shot. Try to follow this thing up.
Hope you feel better, Charlie.
Oh, my. And Marge, it's always good to have you back.
Oh, I'm glad to be back.
Been a lot of fun. Brandy, you'll be back next week for another day. But don't forget, Friday, March the 1st, Charlie and Mary Ellen signing hot dog buns and forever being immortalized in Tony Paco's in Toledo, Ohio.
I don't ever remember doing that.
Enjoy your buns, Charlie.
Yes. Yeah. We'll be back next week. Was it the last Friday in March? I believe it is.
February.
Really?
Is it February?
Yeah. Oh.
There you go. All right. I'll be back with you in about 10 minutes.
St. Marion Moments. Marge Hazelwood has led a life of service. She worked as a professor at The Ohio State University.